Good morning. Those of you who survived the end of the world yesterday, raise your hand. Kind of makes you shake your head, doesn't it, when someone who is supposedly a Christian leader thinks they know better than the Lord Jesus Christ as to when the world's going to end. Anyway, we're all here, and welcome. It's good to see each and every one of you today in the house of the Lord on the Lord's Day. And by being here, each one of us will be richly blessed. Good to see everyone here. Marge, over to you. Thank you.
Good morning. Big thankful again to our mustard seed providers. We were one of the ones that went down on Wednesday, and there was a lot of clothing and things out here to go to the mustard seed. But there was also a truck in Cremona that day collecting things to go north for the fire victims. So I hope it's okay. We gave all those things to go north rather than to the mustard seed this time. But we took the food south, but the clothing went north. Reg Graves of the Canadian Bible Society is going to be with us on June the 5th while Ian is on holidays. Elders meeting has on Saturday, May the 28th, has been changed to 8 o'clock instead of 9, so we've all got to be up earlier. The wood carving out in the foyer, maybe you have noticed, of the Leonardo da Vinci's famous painting of the Lord's Last Supper, was brought back to our church as a gift, and we're most grateful to the donating family. The lawn mowing list is up in the foyer again. It's nice to be able to mow grass instead of push snow. So if anyone has a ride-on lawnmower and a way to get it here to take turns mowing the lawn, it would be greatly appreciated if you just put your name on the list. And Susan has an announcement about VBS. Thank you, Susan. Are there any other announcements?
I'm not sure if you read the quips and quotes within the bulletin or what Grant puts on the screen prior to the service, but there's a one there which I think is a real classic, and it's the first one from Mickey Rivers, which says, "Ain't no sense worrying about things you've got control over, because if you've got control over them, ain't no sense worrying. And there ain't no sense worrying about things you've got no control over either, because if you've got no control over them, ain't no sense worrying." We worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. We come now before his presence in silence. The Lord Jesus said, and he still says, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father." I'd like to invite Kathy up now to come and lead us in our approach choruses. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. Let's start with a good lively song. Come on and celebrate. Stand and we'll sing. Come on and celebrate his gift of love. We will celebrate the Son of God who loved us and gives us love. good way to get the morning started. The next one we are going to do is called He is Our Peace. Fits in with some of our scriptures today. We'll sing this one through twice as well. He is our peace, who has broken down every wall. He is our peace. He is our peace. He is our peace, who has broken down every wall. He is our peace. He is our peace. Cast all your cares on Him, for He cares for you. He is our peace. He is our peace. Cast all your cares on Him, for He cares for you. He is our peace. He is our peace. And we'll sing that one again too. He is our peace, who has broken down every wall. He is our peace. He is our peace. He is our peace, who has broken down every wall. He is our peace. He is our peace. Cast all your cares on Him, for He cares for you. He is our peace. He is our peace. Cast all your cares on Him, for He cares for you. He is our peace. He is our peace. And our last one as we prepare for worship is number 320. Whoops, wrong one. Lori, what number is it? Oh, there we are. You are my refuge. Oh, there it is. I'm not sure. This one might be not quite as familiar. So we're going to do the whole thing three times. And if you want to listen more or less the first time, hum along, that's okay, or sing. And then we'll do two more times through. It's beautiful. It's going to look like six times because of the way it's written up there, but it's three. Oh Lord, You are my refuge. You are my hiding place. Oh Lord, You are my refuge, and I will you.
Thanks to Kathy and Laurie for the approach choruses. Beautiful. We appreciate them. A couple of things I meant to mention. First of all, next Saturday, the Chinese restaurant here in Cremona are holding a little fundraiser event. Monica with a K will be singing, and there's a buffet lunch involved. I assume it's Chinese food, being in the Chinese restaurant. But the lunch is at 5 o'clock, and the entertainment is from 6 till 8. And it's to raise money for the underground church in China. So if the tickets, I think, are $25 each, there's a bulletin, there's a mention on the bulletin board there, if you forget what I've just said, and you can see it there as a reminder to you. And the other thing I just wanted to say thank you to Peter for was most of us saw some or part of the royal wedding that took place a short while back. And one of the hymns that they sang at that wedding, they called it Jerusalem. Peggy calls it the English hymn, and Iris and I call it "And Did Those Feet in Ancient Times." And it's an old hymn that just about everybody in England knows, but outside of England, it's not so familiar because it talks about "And Did Those Feet in Ancient Time," and it theorizes that Christ may have walked upon the hills of England. It's a theory, but there you go. Peter, thank you for playing that. Peter said he was going to learn it and he was going to sing it, and he did. Well, not sing it, play it. And he did.
I'm just going to talk to Mark.
Oh, okay. Just talk amongst yourselves while... But I just wanted to say thank you to Peter for that. I know it's not an easy piece of music. It's quite difficult. But Peter worked on it. He's been working on it since the wedding. You weren't there, were you, Peter?
No.
And he played it this morning before the service. So let us bow our heads and join together in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, our gracious and loving Father, we give you thanks. We thank you, Lord, that you have called us each and every one to come together on this day, on this your day, and come together here in this place, Lord, which is your holy place, your sanctuary, where we come, Lord, to share our joy and share our faith in you. And we are thankful, Lord, that as soon as we walk through the doors here, we are filled with your wonderful love because it surrounds us. And we are filled with the joy that shines from the faces of all of the people as they greet one another. And we thank you, Father. And so we pray, gracious Lord, in this time of worship, that you will open our hearts, that you will open our minds, and that you will speak to each and every one of us. And we pray also, Holy Father, that you will accept the praise we bring, for we worship you in the name of Jesus. And we pray, as Jesus taught us to pray, as we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
Our scripture this morning is taken from Acts 7:55-60, where Stephen is stoned. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Look, he said, I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. At this they covered their ears, and yelling at the top of their voices, they all rushed at him, dragging him out of the city, and began to stone him. Meanwhile, the witnesses laid their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. While they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he fell on his knees and cried out, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. When he had said this, he fell asleep. And our responsive reading this morning is taken from Psalm 31. Michelle just wanted to see if you noticed that it wasn't our old familiar Psalm 23. So, in you, O Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Deliver me in your righteousness.
Be my rock of refuge, a strong fortress to save me.
Since you are my rock and my fortress, for the sake of your name, lead and guide me. My times are in your hands. Deliver me from my enemies and from those who pursue me. Let your face shine on your servant. Save me in your unfailing love.
Family of God, for in doing so we represent God's church here on earth and indeed throughout the whole world. And so this joy and privilege is upon us right now as we come to the sacrament of infant baptism. So would those who present their children for the sacrament of baptism and their supporters please come to the front now and join me. That invitation includes grandparents. Now, if any of the children want to come forward so they can see better, they can come on up front and you can sit in this area down here. If any of the children want to come forward. No? Okay. This way. I'm over here.
I present the children of Tina Pfeiffer, Jada Isabel, and Keith and Jacob for the sacrament of Holy Infant Baptism. We read in the Gospel of St. Mark 10:13-16. Then they brought little children to him that he might touch them, but the disciples rebuked those who brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to them, "Let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it." And he took them in his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them.
In this sacrament of holy baptism, we celebrate God's love, a love revealed in the life, the death, and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And this is a love that has surrounded these children from their beginning. In this sacrament of baptism, we proclaim that God has acted to save these children. He adopts them as members of his own family, incorporating them into the living body of Christ. In this sacrament of baptism, we consecrate them to God's purposes, knowing that even though we may falter, God will not, that he will continue through his Holy Spirit the work begun this day, a work in which life triumphs over death. Tiana, I ask you therefore before God and this congregation, do you present your children earnestly desiring that by this sacrament of baptism that they be made members of the Church of Christ? If this is so, please answer, I do. Would the congregation please stand? Beloved in the Lord, do you receive these children in Christ's name as we have been received, promising to support them with constant love, wholesome example, Christian teaching, and faithful prayer? Are you willing to accept so great a responsibility? If this is so, please answer, we are willing, God being our helper.
We are willing, God being our helper.
Thank you. Please be seated. Tiana and all of your supporters, I ask you before God and this congregation,
Do you profess your faith in God, your Heavenly Father, in Jesus Christ, your Savior and Lord, and in the Holy Spirit, your teacher and guide? If this is so, please answer, I do. Will you bring up your children in the knowledge and love of God, teaching them the truths and duties of the Christian faith? If this is so, please answer, I will, God being my helper. Will you provide a Christian home, so fashioning your lives that your children may come to know Jesus Christ as Saviour and Lord? If this is so, please answer, I will, God being my helper. Will you encourage your children to seek confirmation that being strengthened in faith by the Holy Spirit and nurtured at the table of the Lord, they may go forth to serve God faithfully in this world? If this is so, please answer, I will, God being my helper. We bow our heads in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, whose beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, has bidden us make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in thy name, sanctify with thy Holy Spirit these children now to be baptized according to thy word, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Who's going to be baptized first? Keithan? Thank you. Oh, there's a big boy. Look at this big boy here. What is the name of this child? Keithan Jacob, I baptize you in the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the King and glorious Head of the Church, I now declare that Keithan has been received into the Holy Christian Church. Come beside me. Here she comes. Very nearly. Are you going to stand for me, Jada? What is the name of this child? Jada Isabel. I baptize you in the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the King and the glorious Head of the Church, I now declare that Jada has been received into the Holy Christian Church. Amen. You come with me. Let's say hello to all of your new family. You coming with me? Okay, we'll go. Here we come. Say hello to everyone. There we go. Look at all these coming here. Isn't that nice? All your new family, aren't they nice? Hey, some over here as well. There we go. Who's that there? Say hello, everyone. Say hello to Keithan. There he is. And Jada, she pretends to be shy, but I don't really think she is. Hello. Just hold on just a second. Keithan and Jada, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and grant you his peace. Amen. Now we have baptismal certificates and Bibles from the church to give to you, and Corrine is going to give you your Bibles and Marge your certificates. Thank you. A
And now it's a great joy to invite Blake to come on up here, Blake Reed, to present for us special music this morning. Thank you, Blake. You can tell us yourself what you're singing.
I'm not sure yet.
It was up for discussion, and the kids on the way said, "You're singing that one? I thought you were singing a different one." So... the one I'm going to sing is one actually I sang a year ago, had requests for it, that if you're singing again, please sing Farmer's Prayer. So I'm going to sing Farmer's Prayer. Since everybody's out in the fields, it's a busy time of year. It's a special song to me. And it goes like this. Daddy left his hands in dirt, and often tired, and sometimes hurt. He could make life grow from things he nurtured. But that's a farmer's life. He taught me to work beneath the cloudless skies, face my fears on the darkest nights. He taught me to talk to Jesus Christ and say a farmer's prayer. Jesus, walk in these fields with me and give me strength and the faith I need. Bless this farm and my family and this farmer's life. The smell of life rides a prairie breeze, and generations are watching over me. The next in line is bouncing on my knee, farmer's prayer. Jesus, walk in these fields with me, give me strength and the faith I need. Bless this farm and this family and this farmer's life. When I die, place me beneath the wind. The gentle rains can wash away my sins. Leave me to lie in this old shirt I'm in and say a farmer's prayer. Jesus, walk in these fields with me, give me strength and the faith I need. Bless this farm and my family and this farmer's life. Bless this farm and my family and this farmer's life.
Thank you, Blake. That was beautiful.
Thanks, Ian.
You can sing it again next year. Beautiful. We appreciate that. And now your gifts for the work of God in this church and throughout the world will now be received. Thank you. Thank you. Almighty God, gracious Father, we are ever thankful for your goodness to us. And so we come to you now, Lord, and we bring these our gifts. They are but humble tokens of our gratitude. But we ask you, Father, to take these gifts and to accept the givers. For we dedicate them all to the extension of your kingdom here on earth. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Thank you. And now we stand and we sing to the glory of God four verses of hymn number 87. May Jesus Christ be praised. Time for the children to go. Come to our time of prayer. And myself, when I approach this part of the service, those words continually spring into my mind that God moves in a mysterious way his wonders to perform. Frequently, Iris and I will talk about different members of our church family, people that we've been praying for, and lo and behold, we get to church on Sunday and there they are. Is that Pearl over there I see? Is that Pearl there? Hiya, Pearl. Welcome back. Great to see you there. Is that Alice over there that I see? Hey, Alice, good to see you. Excellent. And you, I'm sure, go through the same thing yourself in your mind. You think about people, you pray about people, and then something happens, and there they are, and God answers prayer. God answers prayer. Keep praying for the people that we've talked about. Keep praying for Reg. Keep praying for Joyce Doctor. Keep praying for Pearl and our daughter Sharon. And keep praying for those folks from Slave Lake. What a terrible thing that's happened there. A natural forest fire and these things happen. And all of these people, you know, homes gone. And can you imagine what it must have been like when some of them didn't even know whether their home was gone or whether it was still standing? You know, and wow. How do you put something like that into prayer? How do you put words to something like that? Well, we praise the Lord that we don't need to. We just need to pray in our hearts, and the Spirit takes the prayers from our hearts and presents them before the throne of grace. And how often are we so happy about that? Because sometimes you just don't know how to put things into words. We are thankful for the grace and the power of God's Holy Spirit. Let us join together. Let's bow our heads. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, our loving and caring Heavenly Father, you have bestowed upon us mercy upon mercy, and we thank you. We thank you for calling us out of darkness into the glorious light of your presence. We thank you for sustaining us, especially in those times of our greatest need, and for blessing us with your abundant love. Grant us, Heavenly Father, that we may always desire the most those things that cause us to grow in faith, those things which draw us closer to you. We pray, Father, that you will continue to reveal yourself to us as we seek to learn more and more about Jesus. And may we thirst for those things which cause your healing power and your saving grace to touch more and more people, especially those whom we are privileged to come in contact with. And we pray, Lord, that you will help us to take time for you each day, no matter how busy our schedule might appear to be. Help us, Lord, to find time to meet with you and to sit quietly at your feet. Help us to listen to you, Father. Help us to hear your voice and not to be turned away by the many distractions of life that surround us. Grant us your grace, Father, to minister to the needs of those whom you direct us to. And may we always be sensitive to those who reach out to you, Lord, to their Creator. Help us to listen with our hearts and to honestly and faithfully to do all that we can and to trust you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for carrying us when we are not able to walk on our own. Bless our loved ones, Father, with an awareness of your presence always. Meet each one's needs with your gracious help. To the sick, we ask you, Father, to grant health. To the anxious, we pray that you will grant your peace. And to all, Father, who long to know your will, grant your guidance, the guidance of your loving and gracious Spirit. And let us now take a few moments of silence to whisper the names of those who suffer before God's throne of grace. And he has promised that he will hear our prayers. We pray in silence. Gracious Father, we have very much in our hearts and in our prayers the people of the community of Slave Lake. We find it so hard, Father, to try to think of the anguish that all of these people have gone through and are still going through. We pray, gracious Lord, that you will bless them, that you will comfort them, and by the grace of your presence, Lord, that they may know that you are with them, giving them strength, sustaining them, and leading them through this time of anxiety and worry and despair. We pray, gracious Father, that they may hear your holy words as you say, "Follow me, for I am the way," for only you, Father, can sustain and strengthen them and bring them through this time. Bless, Father, and sustain all of those who bring help, strength, and support to all of the people of these distressed communities. Father, our Saviour Jesus has promised that whatever we ask in his glorious name, that you would do. We pray, gracious Father, all of these prayers, our spoken prayers and the unspoken prayers of the glorious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We ask you, Father, to hear these prayers. And we know, Father, and we pray that in your time that you will answer each and every one of them. We pray in his precious name. Amen. We listen now to the word of the Lord.
Good morning, everybody. Okay. Our gospel this morning is taken from the Gospel of John, chapters 14, verses 1 through 14. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me so that you also may be where I am. You know the way to this place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we know where you are going. We know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, Don't you know me, Philip, even after I have been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask for me anything in my name, and I will do it. And the epistle is from 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 10. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and a precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Now to you who believe, this stone is precious, but to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the capstone, and a stone that causes men to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received his mercy, but now you have received mercy. Thank you.
Well, thanks to Michelle for those readings from the scriptures. And while we've got Michelle up there, let's also say thank you to her for producing the bulletin for us every single week. Thanks, Michelle. And now we're going to sing the hymn 467, which is Anywhere with Jesus. And Peggy said to me earlier, she said to me, which tune do you want? Do you want the one in the hymn book, or do you want the old gospel tune that everybody knows? That one answered itself. We stand and we sing to the gospel tune that everybody knows, that wonderful old hymn, Anywhere with Jesus.
Below, anywhere without him, dearest joys would fail. Jesus, I am not alone. Other friends may fail me, he is still my own. Though his hand may lead me over dreary ways, anywhere with Jesus is a house of praise. Anywhere, anywhere, fear I cannot know. Anywhere with Jesus I can say, Jesus over land and sea, telling souls in darkness of salvation free. Ready as he summons me to go or stay, anywhere with Jesus when he points the way. Anywhere, anywhere, fear I cannot know. Anywhere with Jesus I can say,
would you pray with me, please? And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be perfectly acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The year was 1275 BC, before Christ. The land was Egypt. The ruler was Pharaoh, and the leader of the Jews was Moses. The Jews had been in slavery for 400 years to the Egyptians, building their cities, building their pyramids. But now God had sent the plagues, and now the Jewish nation was beginning their exodus from slavery. And right at this particular moment, they were stopped by a body of water, a body of water known as the Red Sea. The Red Sea was in front of them, and coming up rapidly behind them, the death and the destruction of the Egyptian chariots. It seemed that there was no way out. And then a miracle. Suddenly, as Moses obeyed the command of God, the Red Sea opened up, and there was a way. Only one way out. Only one way to avoid death and extinction. And that way, that one way, was through the Red Sea. And that visual image of only being one way out of death and extinction is deeply woven into the theology of the Old Testament and also the New Testament. So when Jesus told his disciples that he was the one and only way to the Father, he was speaking of a concept that was familiar to them. Only one way. Now we move on. Now we are in the upper room. It is the night before Jesus' crucifixion. It is the night of his betrayal. This was his last Passover meal, the last one that he would spend with his friends here on earth. He had washed their feet. He had broken bread with them. He was telling them that the time had come, his time had come. But they didn't understand. Maybe they didn't want to understand. In the previous chapter of St. John's Gospel, but part of this same discussion that was going on, Jesus had said to them, "I will be with you only a little longer. Where I am going, you cannot come, but you will follow later." And sadly, they had understood nothing about what he was attempting to explain to them. The more he talked about going away to a place that they could come later, the more frustrated they became. You can imagine it, can't you? Put yourself in their shoes. They didn't know anything about the resurrection coming along or anything like that. Even though Jesus had told them, they didn't understand. Where was he going? Galilee? Samaria? Was he going off to hide from the Jewish leaders? Maybe in the desert? Maybe Egypt? And so finally, in exasperation, I think, Thomas summed up the feelings of the whole group and he said, "Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way?" Thomas said it. Thomas is the guy who is right behind Jesus. He's the one who's got his finger up like that. And you can imagine him saying, "Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way?" Jesus said, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life." And he added to this, no one comes to the Father but by me. Jesus does not claim to know the way. He claims quite clearly that he is the way, he is the truth, and he is life. And he tells the whole world that he is the answer to problems, to all kinds of problems. Whatever problems people have, Jesus says, "Follow me, for I am the way." You will recall that when God spoke to Moses from the burning bush, Moses asked God, "Who should he tell the children of Israel? Who should I say has sent me to you?" And God told Moses his name was I Am. I Am. And Jesus made several statements about himself, statements that have become known as his I Am statements. Statements which indicate that Jesus and God are one with each other. They are the self-same individual, the same person. And Jesus says, "I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the gate. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the true vine. I am the way, the truth, and the life." But you know, when you see all of these I am statements that Jesus said, the one that is the most controversial, especially to the postmodern world in which we live, is this one. Some people in the world today are willing to accept that Jesus may be a way, a truth, and a life, but they cannot accept him as exclusively the way, the truth, and the life. Our pluralistic society gets upset at Jesus saying that the way to heaven is exclusively through him. And there is increasing opposition, even amongst some Christians, to what appears to them to be the intolerant and exclusive claims of Christianity to be the only way to heaven. Some Christians are accused of being arrogant, to think that Christ is the only way, and that somehow they have a corner on the market of ways to God. And I'm sure you've all heard the thoughts expressed as these: don't all religions basically teach the same thing anyway, if you boil them all down? You've heard it, haven't you? Be good, love other people, live peaceably, resist evil. So it doesn't matter if you're a Christian or a Jew or a Muslim or a Hindu or a Buddhist or whatever, God will receive you into heaven. And they also say, aren't these religions all just taking a different route, going up the same mountain to God? We've heard these things, and we will continue to hear these things. It is a sign of the world in which we live, in the society in which we live. These are the things that people say. But God says, the Lord God himself says, there is only one way to heaven. No matter how much people may try to excuse themselves from traveling the way, there is only one way. Imagine for a moment, you are in a building which is on fire, and there was smoke all around you, and a fireman comes to you and he yells out, "The whole building is ablaze. All of the exits are blocked by flames. Follow me. I know of the only way out." Some of our ultra modern pluralistic people in the room responds, how do I know that the building is really on fire? Perhaps you have created all this smoke and flames to get us to abandon our comfortable place and follow you. And others might respond, well, yes, I do believe there is a fire, but I think I would rather make my own way out of the building. Thank you. It might seem like a ridiculous scenario to us, and it is, but it is happening all the time in the world in which we live. Jesus has warned us that there are consequences to our sinful ways. Eternal consequences that result in eternal punishment. Call it what you want. Eternal punishment, hell, whatever you want to call it. But people will not accept it. And many people will not believe it. They feel more comfortable in their denial of an afterlife. Or that God is so loving that he will overlook all of our sins and let us all in. Jesus warns there are consequences. But Jesus also offers us the way, the only way to escape from a pending fiery furnace of eternal hell. Follow me, Jesus says. There is a way, and there is only one way. And he says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And so some people claim that Jesus was arrogant, that he was intolerant, and that his words were exclusive. But isn't it interesting to note that most other religions of the world, they will tell you that yes, Jesus was a good person, yes, Jesus was a good teacher, but no, Jesus was not God. That great Christian teacher, C.S. Lewis, picked up on this, and he says, how can they say he was a good teacher when he did claim to be God, which is what they do not and cannot accept? And C.S. Lewis went on and says, he is either the Lord God himself, or he is a lunatic or a liar. Jesus was not arrogant, Jesus was not intolerant, but in a sense, yes, his words were exclusive. His words exclude other religious beliefs and practices, but they do not exclude any other person. For Jesus says, God so loved the world, the whole world, the whole wide world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, that means everybody, that means anybody, whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. God, through his Son and our Saviour Jesus, has provided for us the way so that every man, woman, and child can be saved. In the Garden of Gethsemane, as it is recorded in Matthew chapter 26, Jesus prayed to God the Father, and he prayed, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. If it is possible, let this cup pass from me. If what is possible? Jesus, the Son, is asking God the Father, if there is any other way, if there is any other way, if there was any other way, Jesus would not have suffered as he did. The beatings, the scourgings, the ridicule, the thorns on his brow, the nails through his hands and his feet, and his brutal and painful death. If it is possible, Jesus prayed, let this cup pass from me. Jesus was divine, he was God with us, but he was human. He experienced all aspects of human living, and he did this to relate to the lives of you and I, the lives that we live. And when Thomas asked that question, Lord, how can we know the way? He spoke for himself, he spoke for the rest of the disciples, and he spoke for all of us as well. They were in a desperate situation. They were confused by life. They felt that things were almost insolvable, unsolvable, however you want to say it. There was confusion. There was anxiety. There were troubled hearts. Doesn't their situation, their emotions and their feelings, doesn't that match how we sometimes feel in life? How am I going to get through this day? It is said that people don't worry so much about how they're going to get to heaven, but how to get through the day. How to get through to the end of the month before the next paycheck. How to get through the sickness and the suffering and the pain that they or their loved ones are suffering. Jesus says, I am the way. I am the only way. I am your way through whatever you are trying to get through right now in your life. He says, follow me. I am the way. Come unto me, he says, and I will give you. Come unto me and I will give you. Whatever you ask in my name, I will give you. Jesus is the way to life. And he's the way out of despair and the way out of worry. And Jesus says, no one comes to the Father except through me. No one. These are the words of God spoken through the Lord Jesus Christ. There is only one bridge to take you from this life to eternity in heaven with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And Jesus tells us quite clearly, he is the way, and it is his truth that illuminates the way that leads to life. And we say, thanks be to God who gives us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. We stand and we sing our closing hymns. And first of all, we sing that glorious and triumphant hymn, number 96. All hail the power of Jesus' name. We stand and sing to his glory.
Bring forth the
God's people. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all and all whom we love this day and forevermore. Thank you.